This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hey there, cat lovers. Welcome to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat. I'm your host, Dr. Catherine Prim, and I'm a small animal veterinarian and obviously a crazy cat lover. Today, I have with me Dr. Lisa Radasta. Dr. Radasta has been with us on the show before, but today we want to talk about some summer storm anxiety, or just anytime storm anxiety. Our weather's gotten kind of volatile, and I want everyone to kind of learn a little bit about that and maybe how they can help their cats cope with that. So we'll be right back with Dr. Radasta.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat. Dr. Lisa Radasta and I are here. Hi, Dr. Radasta.
Hey, how are you?
I am excellent. So, the weather is getting warm and it is a little bit volatile, and I want to talk about some things that I think we all need to learn. Can you start by telling my listeners who aren't familiar with you a little bit about you and what you do?
Well, I think the thing I do most of the time is what you do, and that's, you know, be a mom. But aside from being a mom, I'm a board-certified veterinary behaviorist, which is a veterinary psychiatrist. So veterinarian, do a residency, get board-certified, just like you bring your cat to a dermatologist or a surgeon. We are a board-certified specialist in the behavior of companion animals.
Okay, and that's a super fun job and very challenging, I know. So can you tell us a little bit about maybe just the science behind storm anxiety?
Yeah, so I'm going to say, especially for cats, I would like to have an even wider umbrella and say noise phobia. And so basically what's happening is just what's happening with you and I when we're afraid of something, right? Cats can be afraid of anything. Even if we don't think it's scary, that's really not important. It's whether or not the cat thinks it's scary. And so cats might be afraid of, let's say, the sound of the thunder. There's some big booms. And in my old house, I didn't have storm windows, and Florida storms will literally rattle your windows. It feels like your house is coming down with some of these really big storms. And so cats are afraid of the thunder, but it doesn't stop there. And that is why we have to nip problems like this really in the bud quickly, is because the cat is now beginning, as the storm season goes on, to link the dark sky, the change in barometric pressure, if you happen to have your windows open, right? So they're sensing that. And the rain itself before the thunder, or the lightning that comes around when it thunders. And the cat links all these things with the feeling of being scared, with the physiology of a tight chest and your pupils dilating and losing control of like how you feel. And then those things actually trigger the fear response. And when it's really bad, I mean bad, is when the kitty is sensing changes in the environment that could signal a storm and is then beginning to disconnect from family, or show aggression toward family, or urinate outside box. And the pet parents, you know, they bring their kitties to us and they say, I don't understand why this is happening. This is so sudden. And it feels sudden to us when our cat pees on our pillow. But it's not sudden to the cat in many situations, because this might have been going on years. So noise phobia and storm phobia is like, it's insidious and it gets bad really quickly during storm season.
Do you think that the behavior of the pet parent around the storm, I mean, we all feel maybe some anxiety when we see on the Weather Channel or whatever. Do you think that that can contribute to the problem?
Well, so we don't have any science in cats that cats succumb to what we call emotional contagion. Or you might see it written on the internet, social facilitation. So emotional contagion would be like, I'm upset, so my human child, my daughter, gets upset. We know in dogs, by the way, that there is some level of emotional contagion, this transference of stress from me to you across species. I don't have any reason to believe it does not happen with human beings and cats. We just don't have any science to support that right now, or to disprove it, matter of fact.
Do you find that there are any specific breeds of cat or personality type of cat that is more prone to these reactions to storms?
No, and we don't have, again, we're really lacking research. So we have a survey study that shows that up to 50% of cats have some sort of noise phobia. This was you'll find it online as an abstract. It's an unpublished study, but you will find the abstract. That was a survey study of pet parents. So we know it's out there, but the problem is we don't know much else about noise and storm phobia in cats. So I can't tell you if it's a breed or personality type. I will tell you my clinical experience for doing this for almost 20 years is that there isn't one personality type or kind of cat or color of cat or breed of cat that can succumb to this. My own cat is a big, black, chonky, domestic short hair cat, right? And he does not have storm phobia, but he has noise phobia. And if I wasn't watching out for it, I wouldn't even know it's there. And I think that's my biggest message today is early detection.
So where does it cross the line between natural, oh, I'm startled by that noise, and become what we would call a phobia where we would need to intervene?
Yeah. So I love your point. Fear is normal. If I didn't have a fear, I would drive 150 miles an hour down 95, right? I mean, I love to go fast, but I have that fear. I have a mom. I don't want to get an accident or hurt somebody, et cetera. So cats probably are fearful of sounds a lot of the time in our environment. It's normal for them to startle, stop, to turn and look, and then to go, oh, all right, and flop on the ground and groom themselves and jump up in a cat tree, et cetera. It's when our kitties don't recover quickly. It is the lack of resilience, okay? So it's when that kitty dashes off into your bedroom, goes under the bed, and does not come out for an hour. That is not normal. It's when your kitty hears the sound and you go to pet her to comfort her and she bites you, and she's not the kind of cat that would ever bite you. So a change in personality, a lack of resilience, then we have to intervene. And sometimes fear can be normal. It can be pathologic, which means it's starting to interfere with the kitty's quality of life or the kitty's relationship with his or her family. It can cause an anxiety, which is different, right? It means the kitty anticipates, just like when I was talking about the storm phobic kitty, the anticipation of the scary thing is causing them to change their behavior. And when a little kitty is phobic, it's all the things together. They feel the fear that turns into panic, and they also anticipate something will happen, which then ramps up that panic. So kitties, really, we need to intervene and help them when we see their quality of life is affected.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Quality of life, you know, when it reaches that point. So you mentioned that, and I hear this a good bit also, that people say all of a sudden she just started peeing on my pillow or whatever. So I want to kind of talk a little bit about what some of the early signs that my listeners might be seeing that their cat is developing a noise aversion.
Yeah. So you can just observe your kitty, right? When you turn on the smoothie machine, which mine is used at least once every day, does your kitty just go to the top of the cat tree and watch you with what I call the look of judgment, where my cat, you know, has his ears forward and his nose slightly down, his front paws together, and he's sitting up straight? Is he giving you the look of judgment? Is he running into the bedroom and going under the bed? Like, you're going to look for responses that seem extreme. When you're done with using the smoothie machine, right, or whatever made this sound, does your kitty come right back out? And when your kitty comes out, are his pupils dilated? Is he all puffed up like a Halloween cat? Or does he saunter out and his tail is up in the air and curled over at the tip like a question mark, right? So if your kitty comes right back out of that fearful situation and is completely his or herself. This kitty, we don't need to intervene, right? And if we have a kitty on the opposite end of the spectrum that is hiding or is distancing themselves or has a behavior change after they hear the sound or they're exposed to the sound, of course, we want to intervene with that kitty. And I also want to say, quality of life is a moving target. And I say that because every day is different for me and you and for our cats. And also, what I believe a good quality of life is for my cat may be very different than what my friend believes or what my friends who are veterinarians believe. And so as a pet parent, I would just encourage you to speak to your veterinarian and to ask that question. Like, to me, if I lived my cat's life, which to me is the measure of quality of life, I would be happy. I would be sad. I would be depressed. How would I feel if I was living that life? And then I'd go to my vet and say, look, this is what I'm seeing. What do you think about my cat's quality of life? Because I'm worried. And then you can take those kind of two differing potentially opinions and form for yourself an assessment of what your cat's quality of life is.
So I want to digress just a little bit, because do you think the look of judgment is normal for an individual cat? Because I do.
It is. And I get the look of judgment a lot. You know it. Those front paws are just, they're sitting up so straight and their nose is just slightly down. And you know they're judging you. Really.
Yeah, we call it judgy. We just call it judgy. So, yes. Okay, well, I want to take a quick break, get a quick word from our sponsors, and come back and talk a little bit more about this, maybe diagnosing it and what you do. And so we'll be right back.
Has your dog or cat chewed through yet another set of sheets?
I get it. I've been there. But instead of replacing them with more scratchy, low-quality bedding, why not treat yourself to what Oprah and Kris Jenner sleep on every night? It's called Cozy Earth, and yes, it's as dreamy as it sounds. Their bamboo sheets and pajamas are buttery soft, cooling, moisture-wicking, and they actually get softer every time you wash them. I'm talking next-level snuggle mode here, folks. These sheets have been on Oprah's Favorite Things list 7 years in a row, and there's a reason why. Cozy Earth gives you the softest, coolest sleep of your life. And just for Pet Life Radio listeners, I scored you an exclusive 41% off. That's the biggest discount they offer anywhere. Just use promo code PETLIFERADIO at CozyEarth.com and sleep like the celebrity your pet already thinks you are. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code PETLIFERADIO. You'll thank me at bedtime.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Nine Lives with Dr. Kat on Pet Life Radio. So Dr. Radasta and I are talking a little bit about storms and noises and cats that judge us, really. All right, well, so if the hypothetical cat owner does come to their veterinarian and say, hey, I think I'm seeing some things and I'm evaluating if I was living my cat's life and this seems a little bit like torment to my cat, and I think it's a quality of life issue, what do you think would be the next step? Like, how could we diagnose this?
Yeah, so the way we're going to diagnose it is to try to collect history around when it happens. And if we are seeing the kitty, you know, pretty soon after the pet parent notices the first couple times this happens, then I can probably make a good diagnosis, because I'll ask, hey, when you see your cat hiding, what happened 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour before? And we can locate those stimuli. But the challenge for us as veterinarians is that often these types of things aren't noticed until they're really bad, or until something weird and out of sorts, like urinating on the pillow or biting a pet parent, actually happens. And so in those cases, we may not be able to find the exact stimulus the cat is afraid of. That is just the way it is. However, there's still things we can do. So what we'll do in those cases is we'll do the things we know that cats like and that cats need and that most cats don't have. And that is enrichment, enrichment, enrichment. And I know that your listeners have heard this so many times, they're ready to turn the volume down or skip ahead or put the podcast on like 1.5 times speed. But don't do that, because I just want you for a second to do this exercise. I want you to imagine that you lived in a place not of your choosing. You don't have any credit cards or any cash. You can't drive a car and you can't take public transportation. You're not permitted to go outside. Someone feeds you on a schedule that you don't get a vote on. They feed you something you don't get a vote on, and you have no control ever for the rest of your life over what happens to you. Even the best pet parent, and I'm a dang good cat pet parent, I know you are too, we provide that life to our cats. When you think about it that way, even if you're the best cat family, you've still got work to do on enrichment. So we need to keep our cat's environment so happy and full of joy for them that they are less stressed, because the environment adds to the stress level of the cat. And the more additives we have, the more negative behavior changes we see. So when we take away the stress of the environment by improving the environment, we see that the things that used to upset the cat don't upset them anymore. So that is one major thing we're going to do. Another thing we're going to do is think about, hey, overall, how is this cat doing? Is this cat got other things in their life that are causing stress, like pain, right? Like discomfort, whether it be abdominal or whether it be musculoskeletal or an ear infection or dental, and on and on and on. By tackling each of those things, we will bring the stress bar down. The kitty's clinical signs will be less general, and we'll be able to see clearly now what is causing that stress. And then we can just hit the problem head on.
I love that example of how you outlined what a cat's life is like with us. So, wow, I feel kind of bad. So what about some of the things that maybe my listeners have read about or heard about, like things we can do in the environment, pheromones or herbs or cat grass or anything like that? Have you had any luck with anything like that?
Absolutely. And, you know, even if you know your cat well, we've had our cat since 2017. We got him as an adult. So we've had him some time. But his interests are changing, just like mine. I'm 55, different interests than when I was 25. And so we have to keep kind of, again, trying to hit that moving target. What makes him happy? So some of the things that I consider, frankly, to be wellness care, not even behavioral care, would be using pheromones. And now we finally have research-backed choices. So we've always had Feel Away. We've had Feel Away Optimum and Multicat and Classic, and that's awesome. And there's tons of research. Now we have Zenafil from Virbac. It's a different product, same efficacy as the Feel Away. It comes in a different formulation. So you're learning more about me than you probably need to know. I have a house fire phobia. I don't leave anything plugged in my house. I unplug everything. It makes my husband crazy town. But so I have a problem plugging something in. So the Zenafil diffuser does not plug in. There's also a new product called Secure from Dr. Paja, who brought pheromones to all of us many, many years ago. He was the researcher that brought them to SIVA. His product called, you know, Be Secure, that is a completely different delivery. It looks like the incense little bamboo sticks that you stick in a little glass jar full of stuff. The best way I can explain it. So we have now research backed products to choose from, which is great. Catnip and silver vine, as long as they don't upset your cat, are great ways to increase your cat's wellness. Okay, super important. Another thing we can do that, again, I consider a wellness product is Calming Care for Cats. It's a probiotic that's been shown to decrease stress and shelter cats. So to me, these are wellness things we should be doing for all of our kitties. One thing I will say that I recently discovered, and I'm really embarrassed to say that I recently discovered this, I feel like not the best cat mom, is I recently discovered cat TV. And I'm sure, Dr. Prim, that your cats already enjoy it. But I was asked to participate as a citizen scientist with my own cat in a research study. And after the initial survey, the treatment that my cat got was cat TV for 15 minutes a day. And I thought, this is stupid. That's always my answer, right? So close-minded sometimes. My cat's never going to like this. Well, so the first time I really did have to entice him to come over, now he is full-on addicted. I mean, I think he needs to go to a treatment facility, because now when I bring out my iPad, he begins wailing and waits for cat TV to go on. And it has been really almost the most powerful thing I've ever done to change his mentation from upset to happy. It's amazing. Even after we trimmed his nails, which my husband holds him, we go slow and he certainly tolerates it. He doesn't squirm or anything, but I know he doesn't like it because when we put him down, he runs away. He comes right back, but he does run away. This time we turned on cat TV and he started to run away. And he was like, oh, what's that? So you need something powerful for sure for your cat. And then also the wellness part of your cat's life should be there all the time.
So what's your cat's name?
Chewy.
Yeah, I knew I used to know and I didn't. So Chewy should work for cat TV because I'm pretty sure that they love that you just said that.
I mean, he's addicted to it. Addicted. The only problem, if you use an iPad just for you guys at home, is that he tries to swap the thing. So then he pauses the video and he turns it off by accident. So we started, we have one TV where there's a dresser underneath it where he can sit. And we put it on the big TV. And that's better because then he can swat it and he doesn't turn it off. And if you think your cat is not smart, cats understand I'm going way off. Again, Dr. Prem, you have me on and I go way off. So I just want to tell you this. Cats are so smart. So cats have this thing called object permanence. So this is a sign of intelligence where they can understand that an object has disappeared, right? And it might have gone behind the other thing. So when Chewy watches cat TV on the big TV, he walks behind the TV. He looks for the mouse after the mouse has gone into the mouse hole, which is, you know, in the back of the TV. Like, how smart is that? I'm like, wow, amazing.
He's super smart and you are super objective about him. So, okay. Are there any cases in which you have to medicate cats that have storm phobias?
Yeah, 100%. And one of the cases that really opened my eyes, this was a long time ago, really opened my eyes as to how much cats can suffer, is I saw a case for FIC. And if you're talking to your veterinarian, they might be calling it feline lower urinary tract disease or fluted now. When I went to school, we called it feline idiopathic cystitis. But it's this sterile cystitis that affects cats. We know that it's related to stress. And it's just an awful disease to have. Because cats urinate blood, it's very hard to get ahead of the incidence. It's intermittent. It's stressful for the cat and the pet parent. It's really awful. And we don't have a really good cause. Well, in this cat that was referred to me by the internal medicine specialist for treatment of FIC, we were able to discern that it was the storms that caused her to have episodes of bleeding into her bladder. And by treating the storm phobia, we treated it with alprazolam, which is Xanax. The pet parent gave Xanax based on the weather forecast, exactly the way we'd medicate a dog, right? So she looks at her app and she says, okay, my rule here in Florida, Miami North, because Miami's different, but Miami North, I tell people 40% or greater chance of rain on that app, you need to medicate, okay? And we're able to keep this kitty from relapsing just by medicating for the storms. We also provided for this kitty a hiding space. Some cats go up high. Some cats like to hide. Every cat's an individual. It's their right. But for this kitty, she needed to be able to hide in a space where she could actually not have to hear the storm, which is quite challenging here in Florida. But for this kitty, she had chosen under the bed in the pet parent's room. So we said, no worries. You can have this space during storms. We're going to keep the curtain shut. We're going to keep some little cat music because there is music that is just for cats that can calm them. We're going to keep that on, a little bit of a high volume to drown out the storm. And we were able to keep her from having a very serious health problem on a regular basis during storm season. So we used these meds, gabapentin, lorazepam, which is in the same family as alprazolam. Okay, these are benzodiazepines. And sometimes we use antidepressants. And sometimes we use the glorious gabapentinoids like gabapentin and pregabalin. So we've got lots of options for medicines.
So again, I guess just for my listeners, if you think that your cat is being impacted by this and it's a quality of life issue, please reach out to your veterinarian who might in turn reach out to a veterinary behaviorist like Dr. Radasta.
That's right. That's what I always tell people. If you think your cat is sick, your cat is sick. So if you go to your veterinarian and you say, I got this problem, and your veterinarian doesn't know how to treat it, which by the way, we are not gods. We do not know everything. There's lots of days go by and I go, I don't know. But what you should hear next is, but I can find out. So I'm just a direct message on Instagram away. I'm just a phone call away from any veterinarian. And your veterinarian has veterinary behaviorists all around them, not just down here in Florida. So if your vet doesn't know, expect that, because we can't know everything, for goodness sake. But also expect that your veterinarian will say, but I think I can find out. Give me a couple days to figure out how to treat this. And if your vet responds that way, you got yourself a good vet. If your vet tells you you're crazy or you need to take the Xanax, I might be irritating some veterinarians here, but that's not the right veterinarian for you, because your vet should hear your story. They should listen to you and then try to help you as best they can, which sometimes, like Dr. Prim said, means a phone call or a referral to someone else.
Yeah, amen. Your vet should listen. Yeah, we've talked about that before. So that kind of segues perfectly into, how do my listeners find out? You post a lot of things. You share a lot of educational things. How do they find you?
Yeah, they can find me on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube at Dr. Lisa Rodosta. They can go to my website, which is drlisarodosta.com. And this week, actually, I posted, if you are on Instagram or Facebook, I posted an interview with Tabitha Cusera, who is an amazing board-certified veterinary technician in behavior. We talk about cat carriers. We're going to talk about advocating for your cat. This Saturday, a post is going to go up, and how you can advocate for your cat at the veterinarian's office, because as a vet, it's very easy for me to say things to another vet, but sometimes it can be pretty intimidating if you're a pet parent and you have to advocate for your pet. So yeah, I love cats, and it's all over my socials.
Excellent. Tabitha has been a guest on here. We've talked about medicating cats and getting them in carriers, and she's amazing. So to my listeners, please look that up. That's pretty awesome. Well, of course, it was fun as always. I really appreciate your insight, and I hope that my listeners got a lot out of this chat today.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Prim.
Okay, so obviously, thanks to Dr. Rodosta. Thanks to my producer, Mark Winter, because he makes the show happen. And thanks to all my meowsing listeners. I want you to go out and have a perfect day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.